Our sermon today is based on a reading from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 19. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I by my works will show you my faith. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." Thank you, God, for being a God worth believing in and following. I keep a list of scriptures I would one day like to preach on, and the scripture we just heard has been on my list for a long time, even before I ever thought about becoming a preacher. When I was attending Gardenside Baptist Church in Lexington, I took Continuing Witness Training, or CWT. It was a class that taught you how to share the gospel with unchurched people. The premise of CWT was that you'd go on a home visit and start a pleasant conversation with the person you're visiting, and then segue into another conversation to gauge where they were spiritually. You'd ask, "Have you come to a place in your life where you know for certain you have eternal life and you will go to heaven when you die?" That is a loaded question for sure. Most people don't think much about the afterlife, so CWT was designed to spark that thinking. It built step by step on basic, compelling scripture, and then, hopefully, you would lead the person to make a decision for Christ. There were weekly readings and scriptures to memorize, to use when you were witnessing, and this one scripture from James's short epistle always stood out to me. "You believe that God is one, you do well, even the demons believe and shudder." Probably you've heard people preach on this passage before, perhaps in the light of the ongoing debate about faith versus works. "Show me your faith without works, and I by my works will show you my faith." But that's not what struck me and has stuck with me after all these years. The scripture was deliberately chosen by the people who wrote the CWT curriculum. When we went out visiting on Thursdays and began using the CWT training, we'd always run into people who would politely but firmly put us off by saying, "Oh, I believe in God, I'm good. Like, I don't need to worry about anything, I know there's a God. Don't bug me about this Jesus stuff, I'm fine just the way I am." But if you delve deeper into this scripture, it's clear you don't get a pass just by saying you believe in God. Even the demons believe in God. And what does it make them do? It makes the hairs stand up on the back of their necks. It makes their hearts race with fear. It makes them shudder. They tremble at the very thought of God, and not out of reverence. I have to confess, I'm kind of confused about demons. Are demons real, living beings? I mean, we picture these mini devils running around poking people with pitchforks, or perhaps demons are the thoughts that infiltrate our minds and try to make us do wrong things. You know, the devil made me do it. Where do demons come from? I Googled that question and I got a whole bunch of rather wild theories, including one about the sons of God in Genesis who bred with the mortal women of the earth, and that's how demons came about. Another theory pointed to Revelation chapter 12, verses 4 and 7, which says demons were originally created as angels and existed as part of God's angelic army. But when Satan, the leader of the demons, rebelled against God, one third of the angelic host joined him in his revolt. So according to this source, demons were formerly angels that threw their lot in with Satan. Of course, the Bible doesn't specifically say where demons came from, so the question remains, are demons born or are demons made? Are all demons still those rebellious angels? Have other rebellious angels joined their ranks? In Jesus' time, people believed demons were actual entities that were the cause of any number of diseases and disorders. They would get into people's bodies and make them act crazily or at least unnaturally. They caused fainting spells and epileptic fits. Well, people back then didn't realize there were medical reasons for people that acted like they were possessed. There are plenty of stories about demons in the Bible and plenty of stories about their encounters with Jesus. Demons knew exactly who Jesus was. Often, when Jesus ordered a demon to come out of a person, or even sometimes when the possessed person saw Jesus approaching them, the demon would scream in anger and fear, "Leave us alone! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. You are the Son of God." That's what James was getting at. So you believe in God. That's great. That's all well and good. But what does that belief make you do? Does it make you tremble? Does it make the hair on the back of your neck stand up in fear? Does it make you pray? Does it fill you with dread or with hope? Does the thought of one God inspire you to indifference or spark you to excitement? What does this truth do to you? Look what it does to the demons. They know there is a God, and they believe there is a God. But that knowledge and that belief does nothing to or for them. It doesn't make them change or care or renounce their satanic leader. It makes them shudder. Demons are pretty frightening characters in and of themselves. They are stubborn and tenacious and determined. They know what they're supposed to do, turn believing hearts and minds away from God, and they do it with demonic gusto. They take over the minds and bodies of those who are weak and wavering, and they have a field day making possessed people's lives miserable. It's a scary idea, a scary existence. But demons should be objects of our pity, not our fear. You have heard about God. You have heard about Jesus. You have read about God's creativity and Jesus' miracles and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. In your past pre-faith life, all of that might not have moved you, but when it did hit you, that God loved you and that Jesus died for your sins and the Holy Spirit wants to be your mentor and partner, you decided your life would change. You decided things would be different. You would be different. You decided you would leave the former things behind and embrace grace and say yes to Jesus' call. You made a choice, a good choice. But demons don't do that. Yes, demons believe there is one God, and demons also believe Jesus of Nazareth is God's only son, but it doesn't make a bit of difference to them. They don't make a decision to live a life pleasing to God and Jesus. They don't let God and Jesus cover them with mercy and bring them to a path of righteousness. They don't humble themselves and surrender themselves to God's guidance and Jesus' justice. They don't welcome the intuition and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They dig their heels in and fight tooth and nail against God, against Jesus, against the Holy Spirit. They won't change. They refuse to change. Is it because they can't change? Are they that much enthralled to Satan that even though they know what is the good and right thing to do, they don't do it? Does Satan have that much of a hold on them that they are simply incapable of changing their hearts and minds, of repenting for their rebellion, or forsaking the false and accepting the true, of turning their backs on evil and going after goodness? They can't break free even if they wanted to. Satan has power too, you know. He uses fear, pain, ridicule, hopelessness, ignorance to keep his demon servants under his thumb. I can't think of a single biblical instance where a demon forsook his tormenting master and embraced God. Even though demons know God is all powerful, God is all good, and God is going to win in the end. But still, demons want nothing to do with God. Can demons quit being demons? Well, here's one answer I came up with. Demons aren't human. They were once angels, which are non-human beings. Then they became demons. They can inhabit humans and take over their actions, but they are not human, so they can't be saved. Not being human, they can't decide. Their will is not their own. They are trapped, and they know it. Another reason to pity demons is that they know what is going to happen to them. A demon cried out as Jesus approached, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Demons know their time is up. Demons know there is a day coming when they are going to be defeated. Demons know in the end God will prevail and they will be destroyed once and for all. They know they're doomed, and yet they still keep fighting, keep struggling to get others on their evil side, and they still refuse to accept the hope and love and healing the one God whom they believe in would offer them. What reward is there for them in the end? The book of Revelation talks about a lake of fire where Satan and all his followers will be eternally tortured. If the demons know this is in store for them, why do they insist and persist in actions that will only lead to their destruction? Does that even make sense, to know your end will be a tragic one and yet to keep doing the things that will seal your fate? Demons have no hope. They know already what the outcome of their battle against God will be. If they know they're going to be defeated, why do they continue to fight? Perhaps their aim is to try to take down with them as many potential believers as they can. Perhaps they believe if they keep at it, there will be far fewer followers of Christ, and that would be a sort of victory for them. They know what they have to do, and they know time is short, and they're working as hard as they can to take people away from God and keep them away. Every soul they claim is a soul God has lost, and that's a win in the demons' minds. That's why, especially these days, we have to keep fighting back. Satan's army of minions don't rest. They're waiting for us to drop our guard so they can zoom in and snatch us away from God, if that were possible, and make us doubt or even forget the promises God has made to keep us safe, to keep us steadfast, and to keep us away from evil. It's a daily battle. There is so much out there that tries to lure us away from God's side. Power is a big obstacle. Satan promises power, but it's not power he himself commands. It is power God allows him to have for now. This is the big problem, the here and now mentality that makes us believe only what happens in this life counts. Satan even tries to tell us there is no life after this, so why not grab for everything you want right now? Why not enjoy life to its fullest, since once you're gone, and there's nothing else? This kind of thinking can be hard to resist. How do we fight back? How do we conquer and quiet those demonic whispers in our ears? James told us how. With faith. Faith doesn't mean we know all the answers right now, and our steadiness and our sturdiness and our reliance and our resistance will be rewarded one day. Faith makes us believe that God is working things out. One day when the battle is finished, one day when Satan's army is downed and drowned and defeated, with our eyes fixed on God, with our hearts filled with Jesus' love, we don't have to fear the demons. They have no future, they have no hope, but we do. CWT's aim was to bring people to a saving faith. It was not enough to believe. People need to have a faith that demonstrates their belief, to live a life that honors God and shows trust in God. Demons have faith too, you know. They have faith that God exists, but their faith makes them tremble, shake, and shudder with extreme fear and horror. Their faith instills in them a holy terror of God. The faith we need to have makes a difference in our lives. It keeps us hopeful, it grows, it strengthens and deepens, and it banishes fear. This faith instills in us a holy confidence in God, and for this we are thankful. Even the demons believe and tremble. So what do? Let us pray. God, thank you for all your promises and your protection. Keep us strong as we continue our journey of faith walking beside Jesus. May all the forces of evil, real and imagined, be kept at bay as we surround ourselves with your love and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let the whole creation cry, oh. treasures of our